We speak of family because family is very important. New Life Fellowship, the idea of fellowship of family. And I know from the very beginning that God had placed on a number of families' heart to have a church that was welcoming as a family. And again, you're part of that. And inside the family, we do business together. We laugh together. We cry together. We look at truth together. And as a family, we understand that we're all part of the greater perspective, the greater good. We're all part of the bigger picture, that we're one part that's just as important as another, and we're all functioning together with joy as we walk with Jesus, seeing the world around us change. And each and every week, the last number of months, we've invited you to invite those to the family. And each week, you're welcome to be part of the family, whether it's here on Sunday morning or a man up or a woman's tea or a Bible study, whatever it may be, that you're part of that. And James, and I say all that because in James is writing to the family. And so oftentimes, we open our Bible or we hear from someone who's portraying the truth of God's Word, who's sharing it with the family. And sometimes it's really encouraging. Hopefully, it's always encouraging. But sometimes the encouragement comes with a little bit of a warning. A little bit of we need to be cautious with this. And in James 3, there's a caution to the family. There's a caution to each of us. And in James chapter 3, last week we spoke just quite frank about our tongue and how strong our tongue is. And within the family, the tongue can be so divisive or so uplifting. And we really understood that in James chapter 3, when the pastor James is writing to the people of the Jerusalem church, he warns them of the tongue, and he says this phrase in James chapter 3, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, just look at it with me again, because I believe it's a cautionary tale. It's a warning, but it's also just an indictment, if you would, on the current reality within the family, within the church. James in verse 1 of chapter 3 says, "Not many of you should become teachers. And you should be cautioned to become a teacher, because here's why." He says, "My brothers, for us in the family, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." And the reason that's important is not the reason why we should not become teachers. It's not the reason we should be cautioned to talk about God, to talk about man and the relationship between the two. The reason we should be cautioned to become teachers is because what is found in verse 2. "For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man." There's a relationship between what I say and my walk with God and my ability to be a leader within our family. And from the very beginning of James 3, there is a teaching, a doctrine, if you would, on the truth that is leadership in the church is required, and the characteristic that is most important for our leaders, for those that influence, for those that are helping stand in front of the family, is not all of this godliness stuff all over the place that we think of, all the gifting, all the dynamic speakers, the people that stand in front and can draw a crowd. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying here that the responsibility of a teacher is someone who has mastered the humility of the tongue. Who has mastered the humility of the tongue. There is a gifting within our family of those that have been called to teach. Not everyone is called to teach by position. But there is another attribute of teaching for all of us who understand what God has saved us from. The truth He has planted in our hearts and our responsibility to share that with our family. And all of us are to grow up in the family with the ability to master the humility of the tongue. And in the humility of the tongue, speak to who God is, who I am, and who we are in relationship. The best way I can describe it is by my very elementary, very simple drawings. Okay? And I know so many of you rave about my drawings. In fact, some of you would like them to hang them in your house. You can find them in my office. I'll give them to you free of charge. All right? Here's kind of how I picture it. And again, this is just for me, is this for you to see it. But I like on the top of my drawing to think of God as who He is, how he's revealed himself to us, God's word, the truth, the awesome joy, the gospel. Forgive me, forgive us. There were some of you that asked today about when's that spiritual practice class and when do we meet? And it's the first Sunday of every month, which is today. It's 8:30 to 9:30. Some of you weren't aware of the time, and that's our fault. But we're talking about how God reveals himself to us and how I can know him personally. We call that the gospel, the good news, that you have hope, that there is an opportunity for you to be saved, not only from your sin, but from a life of lack of purpose, from anger, from bitterness, from jealousy, from the pursuits of this world. These are the things of God. And I want to put down below, I'm just going to write truth. There is God's truth that God wants to give to us. And oftentimes, we talk about this truth, right? You talk about this truth. You grab a Bible study and you hear from God through God's word what his truth is. What does Jesus say about the truth? If you know the truth shall set you free. That, guys, we offer freedom to the world. Freedom. I mean, come on. How awesome is that? We get to be free. Free from the bondage of sin, from the chains of addiction and our own desires and all the things of this world. We get to be free. And God wants to give that to us. And we talk about that truth all the time. And may God use it in your life. Today, I want to shift just a subtle degree in our teaching, and I want to talk about God and truth, but I want to talk about this guy or gal, okay? The one responsible to partner with the Holy Spirit in God and his majesty and the truth he has for us, and that it comes to us or this person and the truth is delivered. That's the teacher. And it's not just the position of teachers. Please note that we're not looking today at the gifting of specific people in the church that are called to be teachers. What we're looking for are the teachers who all of us are called to manage our tongue. Are you with me? That there is a position of teacher, just like there is a position of other spiritual gifts. But there is a truth in James where he says, my brothers, all of us, who are responsible to be the light of the world, to talk about God's story in us to the other world, to those around us, to those who are not of this, of our world in heaven. They're still part of earth. They're not part of the heavenly kingdom. We want to talk about that. And the characteristic of this guy or this gal, according to James chapter 3, is mastering the humility of the tongue. That's what James 3 is. Now, continue on then, and we went through James 3, 1 through 13. I want you to look at verse 13 real quickly. So, again, James asks about this person. He says, so among the family, who is wise and understanding among you? So, who are they? Who are they supposed to be? And again, he doesn't go to position. He goes to the character, the humility of this person. And here's the description of the one who takes God's news, the truth, and passes it on to the world around us. And by the way, you can be free. Here's who Jesus is. Here's the quality, the characteristic, the demeanor of this individual. By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of his wisdom. So out of this person, the one who has mastered the tongue, by the way, high-level maturity Christian, the tongue comes, it's not step one. The tongue is one we always fight with. And Scripture says in James 3, verses 1 through 12, if you can master the tongue, you've been able to master all the other parts of Christian living. All right? When we get there, then it is with humility and meekness. Do you guys know what meekness means? It's gentleness. It's with gentleness, by our conduct, we show God's truth to the world. So it's a beautiful partnership of what we can have with our Savior. My story with God revealed to those around me with gentleness. Anybody here on the Facebook? None of you are on the Facebook. You're a bunch of liars is what you are. Okay, I should say, who is not on the Facebook? And then like, okay, so seven of you are socially awkward. Okay, now, if you get on the Facebook, there's nothing gentle about what's happening between two different types of cultures within our political system right now in our world. There's nothing gentle. We stopped caring about people a long time ago, and we care about our agenda. And we're spouting out things of the tongue that may even be true and right, but it is not modeling the image that God has for this person. And I'm not here to attack the Facebook or the Twitter or the Instagram or the Awkwardgram or whatever else that you guys are on these days, whatever you kids are doing. But what I am here to talk about is the way in which we communicate truth is of the utmost importance. Here's the phrase that God kept ringing and endorsing in my ears. Humility gets us in the door. Humility, gentleness gets us in the door. It's where and how the posturing that we can begin to have conversations about truth. Conversations about truth. Do you guys know the story of Jeremiah? Anybody? Jeremiah is a book of the Bible named Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet. There were times in Jeremiah's life where he was called to give this truth. Okay? He was called to take what God had, revealed it to him, and give it here. And here's what God told him. He said, I want you to take a jar, a mason jar, and I thought about doing this, but I didn't own a mason jar, and I asked if I could borrow Russ's, and he said I couldn't because he knew I was going to break it. But here's what it was. Take a mason jar and say to the people, if you don't confess of your sins, the truth, that God's going to break the jar. He's going to scatter you like the pieces of the clay that were broken. All right? I want you to go tell that to people. Now, could you imagine being the recipient of those? Just think about it. You go to small group. You go to Sunday brunch after church. And you sit down and someone says to you, hey, you're so wicked. If you don't confess and deal with the sin and the junk in your life, and you take your taco and you throw it on the ground, and you splatter it everywhere and say, God's going to do this to you. Who punches that person first, right? I mean, oftentimes, the truth in which we have to share to people, the direct words from God, is not fun. In fact, Jeremiah did it, and God already told him, hey, ahead of time, guess what? You're going to do this, and I'm telling you right now, they're not going to listen to you, but I want you to tell them anyways. What kind of Simon is that? Hey, go do this, it ain't going to work. Sign me up, right? We're the first on the bus for that one. And he does this, and then they beat him up, they tie him up. God's like, go do this. And the lesson here is that we don't deliver truth based on how nice or how great or how bad or how what we think the message is. We are simply a conduit that takes the truth of God's word with a humble tongue and we give it because we love the people that we have to share it with. Now, can we just talk about the love that the quality of this person? Look at the type of attitude they have for someone. Look at James chapter 3, starting in verse 13 again. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness, in the humility, the gentleness of wisdom. And then it goes on to this. If you are looking to be this type of person, as God desires all of us to play a part in as a family, to tell our story, to talk about God and share the truth with those around us. All right? But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false about the truth. This is not wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and then he says demonic. Like, when I think of demonic, I think of an Ouija board or those really crazy movies where everybody's worshiping the devil and the horror films. And James writes to the family and he says, no, let me tell you what demonic is. Demonic is when we become a person who begins to talk about God and God's truth into other people, but we do so because we're jealous and we're bitter and we're angry, or we have something in it for ourselves. I can't tell you, New Life, what this does to my heart. And the conviction that we all should begin to feel and experience when we begin to understand how often and how easy it is to have a conversation, even in attempts to share about good things or to do the right thing, but in doing so, having a conversation, challenging, giving truth, and we do so because we have selfish motives, even the selfish motive to feel good about ourselves. The very word of God calls that demonic. That the reason we give God's truth to the world is not because it gets us something or makes us feel a certain way, or we can check off a box and say we're a type of Christian, or the church becomes the type of church we're looking for. But it is so simple and easy, and let me be honest, natural, right? Natural, where what we do because it actually fulfills us. I read a book once called The Shadow Mission of Life, and how in trying to do good things and working within our strengths, there's also a dark side to what we're doing. And at the end of the book, it asks you, what's your shadow mission? And my shadow mission, the battle that I face with the Lord, is doing right things, serving people, saying yes to the help that they need or they're asking for, and all that's great things. But I do so because in doing so, I might just get a thank you. And I might just get appreciated. I might just feel validated. I might just feel good about myself. And we go on a mission trip. Why? Because we truly love the people we're serving? Or do we have our own agenda about, look at what we do? Or look at Jesus, look what I've done. We serve somewhere because, well, it's our spiritual obligation to serve someone. And we can do and say the right things. James 3 speaks of it. But for the wrong motives, because we're doing it for ourselves, he calls it demonic. The story, the scripture that also comes to mind when I see this is the story of Jesus with Peter, right? Peter is the church in which the person, it says that Jesus says to him personally, how cool is this? Like, hey, Peter, you're going to be the dude that I build my whole church on. Like, you're the linchpin, the cornerstone, you're the rock. Peter Petra means rock. And so the name that Jesus gives him, and I'm going to build my church on this solid foundation. Woo-hoo, look at me, I'm feeling pretty good. All right? But Jesus has got to get to the cross. That's Jesus' agenda. If he doesn't get to the cross, his mission is void. And so he's going to the cross. He's going to Jerusalem. And Peter, in his righteousness, so he thinks, in his desire to try to think he can do the right thing on his own agenda, looks at Jesus and say, no, Jesus, you can't go do this. It doesn't make any sense to me. We're going to be lost if you go to the cross. All these things, that the reasons why you shouldn't go. And Jesus turns, he looks up and says, get behind me. You're being demonic. You don't have the things of God, you have the things of man in mind. One of the greatest Christians who ever walked this earth, even outside of Jesus, the one who wrote many books of the Bible, the one who we're here because of his work, his church was built on this man, still to this day teaches us that with the tongue can say good things with the heart of the devil inside. Family, it's time to take inventory of not only what we say, the words that we say, but our meaning behind it. Look at James again. Look at what he says about the words that come out of our mouth and the content, the reason why we're saying it, the purpose behind it is so important. See, this wisdom that comes down from above, it's not from God. It's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Wisdom of this earth, wisdom of selfish ambition, wisdom teaching influence for my benefit will always lead to division. Pastor, I can't think of a greater testimony to a very divided world is unity within the family. I can't. Where we have our differences, we have our unmet expectations, we have things that we would do differently. There's different ages, they're man and female, older and younger, experiences, unexperiences, expectations. We have all these different things, and yet something rallies between us with heavenly wisdom that brings unity. Unity, that there's a greater good in store. Now, there's something that bonds us that's way more powerful than we could ever imagine when we're a part of the family and we're doing life the right way, when we're handling conflict the right way, that what we say to each other is not only the right words, but comes from the right heart. What did we learn last week or be reminded of last week? That an overflow of the heart, an abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so out of our heart comes this unifying, that's not a word. I even know that, and I make up words all the time. Unifying and humble language that brings us together. How often do we look at someone else and our unmet expectation or something didn't work out right, and the instant thought is how that affects us and our expectation? Look at the character of this person. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And the harvest of that then, verse 18, the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Peace with each other. Peace offered to the world. But this truth that comes is first pure. Most importantly, it's pure. The word pure there, the best illustration that I got, is this idea of gifting. Anybody have a birthday coming up soon? I do. If you want to know what day it is, ask my wife. You can make checks payable. No, I'm just joking. Scripture says it's better to what? Give than to... You guys believe that? I don't know. I like receiving. It's really nice. Gifting. I really don't mind giving gifts, but my wife will attest to you, I can't stand wrapping them. Is anybody else with me on this one? Okay. Some of you men, maybe. I don't know if it's a man thing. Or if I'm just weird, but I don't mind shopping for gifts. I don't mind paying for the gifts. I don't mind working for the money so I can give a gift. I love the expression on kids' gifts. I'd rather give the gift like this, you know? And we have this unspoken agreement in our home that she buys all the gifts, she wraps all the gifts, and I get to give the gift. Is that how it works? She said, no, you know? I love my kids. I love you. I love my... I hate wrapping it. I can't... Like, I learned... Like, by the way, I didn't do this. I found this in a closet. Okay? Who keeps empty... I don't know. First of all, I didn't know how to wrap till I got married. She's got to help me. Okay, you do this. And I had all these... And it was crinkled. And then you put... What do you call this stuff? That's not string. Ribbon. You put this ribbon on, and you like take you take your scissors. I got them up here somewhere, and you zzz, right, and then you have to have stitches afterwards. I don't know why you do this, but it just makes it look all nice. And it's interesting because we're all different. Some of you don't like to wrap. Some of you like to wrap so much, my mother, that when you give the gift, like you can't rip the package, right? Because you have to use it again. Come on, some of you know exactly, like, save the bow. Don't rip that box. That's next year's box. I mean, come on, you know, it's just, I want to tear into the thing like a three-year-old, and they're like, well, you got to do it really nice, you know. I spent all the time on wrapping it, so open it respectfully. Show you respectfully, I'm going to throw it at you.
And then we got the tags that you put on, right? And it's like, okay, from dad, from brother, from your favorite parent, or whatever it is, you know, for your birthday, for Christmas, for Valentine's Day, for all these other things that we do. And we give the gift. And inside the gift is this stuff that we're really hoping she likes that we got yesterday, right, husbands? I got this 4 weeks ago because I was thinking about you, you know? Or we can't wait to see the eyes light up on our kids when we give them something they never thought we would afford or we could give them, or we're just thinking about you. And for some of us, where our language is gifts, like our love language, that we show our love by thinking of someone, we giving, and we just, some of us love to give, some of us love to receive, but better to give than to receive. The only thing I get to do with the gift for Jesus is wrap it. Is really just deliver it. Pure simply means that what is given to me by God is simply transferred to the person I'm supposed to give it to. I don't get to put anything else in it. I don't get to take anything away. I simply get to be the hands and the feet that take the beautiful gift of wisdom and truth and the hope and the peace and the love and the joy and the patience and the kindness and the free from anxiety and the eternal gift of salvation. I just get to grab it from the Lord and go, thank you, you've given it to me. And now I get to turn and I get to give it to you. But I don't do that. I take all the things that God's given me and I take it and I go, thank you. And then I mess it all up and I put my own ribbon on it and I change some things because it's going to help me. And I give it to somebody with selfish ambition and jealousy. Or with haughtiness, pride in my heart, thinking that somehow I'm the good giver of the gift when all I ever did to receive the gift in the first place was breathe. I didn't do anything. All of us are called to be the gift transfer people. Now, I would love to be that person for Christmas and birthdays and anniversaries where I can just simply take it and, hey, look what I gave you. But when it comes to the very truth of God's word and the gifts of wisdom that he's given to us, guys, we got to transfer. We got to give it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we could physically see all the gifts that God's given us, the wisdom, the truth, all the things that have been given to us, and we just, man, we piled this around. What kind of Scrooge can we become when someone over here needs what we have and have been given freely, without any earning, without any effort, without any deservance, that's even a word, because of what we have, and we just, this one's mine. It's like this little kid, right, his birthday, he's hogging all of his presents, and he won't let anybody share, and he's half, give it. We give it, and when we give it, it's not manipulated, it's not with an agenda, it's not with strings attached, it's not with I need a thank you, it's here it is because it was given to me. That's what wisdom is, and that's how this person operates. They're so outward focused that every gift, every encouragement, every truth spoken, every gentle word, warning that needs to be given is given simply because I love the person as Christ loved me. And out of that posture is the only way we can give gifts. It's it. Look at James chapter 1. All right, and then we'll close the gift giving this morning. In James chapter 1, verse 16, James writes to the family again. And he says, don't be deceived. Don't lie to yourself. As you listen to your self-talk, the words that come to your mind about certain things and about who you are and what we deserve and all these stuff that goes inside of our minds. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above,
coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought forth these gifts by the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creation, of his creatures. Every good gift comes from above. And then in James 3, he uses the same language. It's not by coincidence. But the wisdom from above, the gift of truth that we are to offer the world, that's been given to us, is first and primarily and always pure. Pure. It's not mine. It's not manipulated by me. It's not wrapped by me. It's not bought by me. It's not earned by me. It's simply received from God and given to you. I don't know how much I've shared. I can't remember between Sunday to Sunday. But the journey that God has placed your pastor on lately has been, there's so much I feel like I should apologize for in my life to people. There's so much that God breaks our heart with. But I'm learning that it's appropriate for me as a position teacher at New Life, who hopefully can take what God's given and given it to you as a gift. I can't do this thing, guys. I can't not meet with God and ignore him and pay attention to all these things that I want to do and all my agenda and think in my own abilities, then I show up on a Sunday morning and can offer you something. That's demonic. And I ask continually, like I should have always been asking, for prayer and encouragement and accountability and partnership, and saying, get with God, because God's the only one who can give us what we need. And I want to say gently to you, get with God. It changes your life. It helps tame the heart so we can tame the tongue, but it gives us the message in which we are called to give. I love you. I do. But I say this as, just take it as truth. If you or I would sit here today and we would say, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. I'm not a guy or a gal. I'm just not that person. I'm introverted. I'm not called. You're right. You may never be called to be a positioned teacher leader within the church. That's okay. But maybe I have nothing to say because I haven't been with the one who gives me the content in which to say. Maybe right now we shouldn't become teachers, influencers, those who can speak of God's story in my life and how we relate to each other and to God. True. But maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe after discovering the love of the relationship with God, maybe we can become that person that gives the truth, not only to the family, not only to my kids and my wife, but maybe we become that person in humility that gives the hope to the world that's lost. Who is wise and understanding among us? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of his wisdom.